The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It's Tuesday on the Chuck Oliver Show, and I certainly appreciate Dave Bardue joining us. Never really got a chance to pimp his products. He's got a sponsor. He's part of another company, and they do good stuff there. Hempforpros.com. If you have shoulders that hurt or hips or ankles or, you know, whatever. If you can, like, you're walking to, you know, from the car to the restaurant, and you tell your spouse, hang on, and you come to a standstill, and you bend down, and when you pop your ankles, it sounds like hickory snapping. Maybe try Dave's website. So in addition to that, he has predictive models, how things are likely to turn out under different scenarios based on what you want as a coach, an AD, whatever, booster, president, you know, doesn't matter. So whatever you're looking for, Dave's got the answers. If you're an NFL team looking for a quarterback, so I appreciate him coming on. About 15 minutes, we're going to have AJ Spurr on, USA Today. Roll Tide Wire editor. We're going to talk Alabama with AJ. Had him on before, and it's always good talk there. So a lot going on, and I was mentioning Alabama and their staff. They cracked a code that Brian Harsin never even – he wanted to recruit – no. He wanted to have really good football teams. I don't know that he really thought out the – and the AD, I mean, boo all around that whole thing. It just wasn't going to work. But it's working in Tuscaloosa. And it's working with a coach who's not from around here. In fact, he's from kind of the same place that, you know, or at least most recently, past two stops for him. And Grubb, it would have worked. It's going to work for him in Seattle. It would have worked. It's going to work with all these coaches here. It's just a different combination, different connection that they've already made. And like I said, it's one measuring stick out of several. But it's an immediate measuring stick, and it's one of the toughest to change. It really is that guy's not from here. My dad doesn't know his dad, and that still matters in SEC football recruiting. In state Alabama, should. Again, you got to know the name of the town. So we'll talk a little Alabama with AJ Spurr, and then bottom of the hour, we're just talking Brent Venables as well, those two staffs, as a matter of fact, with Bartu. Tyler McComas, I told y'all about him in hour one. Tyler McComas, he is the afternoon drive host, KREF, Norman. He'll be on as we continue to talk Oklahoma and their transition to the SEC. Now, it's official. I guess July 1st is when it actually happens on, you know, stationery and business cards. And the extended brent.venables@ou.com/SEC/itjustmeansmore. So that'll all change, but that's July 1st. As of now, on the football field, it's officially changing on the football field because you are now preparing for next season, and next season you're in the Southeastern Conference. And so part of what Brent Venables has to do is change over that roster. We've talked about that in hour one, the recruiting he's after and just the different stuff on the line. Like I said, they're always going to figure out the wide receivers, and they got quarterback. I'm real confident they got quarterback figured out. I like Jackson Arnold a lot. I talked about SEC quarterback rankings that I had put together, and there was a reason that I specifically needed to know, and there was a process for it too, and I'll mention it to you if you ever want to start ranking quarterbacks and find out what you really believe about. Don't just start at one and try to then guess who two is. Don't do it that way. But I was looking at quarterbacks throughout the conference. And Jackson Arnold, they got that part figured out. They're ready for the SEC there. I had Jackson Arnold either right at 9 to start the second half of the conference or at 10 behind Nussmeier. And because Nussmeier has played more and has more experience as the backup where he is still, and it's still with those coaches, not like he may play against his old coach because now he's the head coach of Mississippi State. That's not what this is. Garrett Nussmeier is going to have a different experience there. It's kind of the same coaches. It's just that two of them are now the guys with the title. So I like Nussmeier a lot. I like Jackson Arnold. And we'll talk way more about that. They're not set on the lines of scrimmage. Dave Bartu was on, and he said, oh, Chuck, I know when it happened. He said, now, there's always a lag. When you had a traditional 3-4 or even 5-year sort of shelf life for a scholarship, you would get a kid in, and in a lot of cases, 3, 4, 5 years is what you get. That's not the landscape you're in now. But when it was a predictable, unfolding sort of thing, if you ever shut off the recruiting pipeline, I'm not talking about SMU. They shut off the games. You don't get to play this year. Oh, y'all can stay on scholarship if you want. You don't get to play. Well, they left. They had a tackle. What was it? Dave Richards? It's an All-American left tackle at SMU. He was like, yeah, I'll go to UCLA. You know what he became? An All-American left tackle. And a first-round pick and played in the league forever. So they had a lot of guys like that. That's not what I'm talking about. Whenever something got shut off, there was usually about a 2-year lag. And you know what happened after that 2-year lag? In the old days, up until about 5 years ago, of a predictable 3, 4, or even 5 years as a, okay, we got this guy into the program, here's, we can kind of plan for some stuff. If you were ever coloring outside the lines recruiting-wise or benefits-wise, whatever it was you were providing extra to the football players, if it got cut off, it usually took about 2 years. And then you would see on-field issues. Georgia, do y'all know the name Jan Kemp? If you don't, it was a lot of academic unpleasantness about changing grades and keeping kids eligible and whatever else. And so Georgia had a big issue going on with Oklahoma and the NCAA anyway. They were suing them so they could televise, so that we could have more than 3 games on over the course of a Saturday. So they were busy already, and then Jan Kemp, an instructor at the college, is like, I'm supposed to cheat, and I don't want to do that. I'm not going to help kids, you know, stay eligible. They have to pass their own coursework. Well, that was a kerfuffle, and you know what happened a couple of years after that? Georgia stopped winning SEC championships for the rest of Vince Dooley's tenure. They stopped winning SEC titles, and that was it. Now, was it a recruiting thing? I don't know. It was keeping kids happy and eligible and in the program sort of thing. Now, it also, I mean, right after Herschel was leaving. So there was a lot that came together, a lot of layers to the onion. But the timeline, it do match up. Look at Bob Stoops. And Dave Bartu said there was this thing at a car dealership. August 22nd, 2006, headline, Oklahoma bans players from working at car dealership. Dave Bartu said, a thing at a car dealership? Oklahoma bans players from working at car dealership. This is according to the Associated Press. Big Red Sports and Imports. It's a Norman, Oklahoma-based. It was in 2006. Sports car and imported exotics. Auto dealership, high-end place. And at least as far as records could show, 7 OU players were working at the dealership, including Rhett Bomar. I got his name way wrong. Rhett Bomar. And he had a roommate that worked there as well, but they were alerted, OU's enforcement and compliance staff, few weeks earlier, and suddenly there are violations because he was getting paid a whole lot more than you would think the starting quarterback at Oklahoma would have time to get paid for. And so then they went to Oklahoma's compliance staff, went to the dealership and said, we need to see his time cards. And so they handed over the time cards, and there was an appropriate amount of hours on there for the starting quarterback. And he was doing things like washing cars and detailing cars and driving cars across town to, you know, whatever. Not real high skill, intense work, and you could pay the kid, and so there you go. So he was getting paid, let's say, I'll fill in some blanks. Where'd all this money come from? Oh, I work at the car dealership. Do you work 70 hours a week? Well, we're going to go over to the car dealership. And the car dealership said, hang on. Here's the time card. Well, he worked 12 hours. How'd he get that much money for 12? Well, we're not answering any more questions. 3 weeks later, they're like, yeah, nobody's working there. And then Bob Stoops said, Rhett, you're off the team. At that point, do you know what everybody on the team looked around and realized? Yeah, that's not happening anymore. That source of revenue is gone. Now, there are a lot of coaches who you know what you want to know. I can't inform you. When you find something out and you blow the whistle on it and you call it into it yourself, now, like Nick Saban in the textbook thing in Tuscaloosa, like he was the guy that was like, come on, we got to stop this. Bob Stoops, he found out about Big Red Sports and Imports. He was like, no more. In fact, I believe in this so much that the starting quarterback, you are dismissed from the team. Gate comes down. No more revenue from there or dealerships like it. Now, Oklahoma still responded. They went 11-3, lost the Fiesta Bowl. I think it was that Bill Stewart thing. Lost the Fiesta Bowl, but it was still 2006. It was right after the gate came down revenue-wise, and they had an 11-win season and finished number 11 in America. Next year, 11-win season because there's still a lag. The revenue's off, but the kids are looking around going, well, I came here because of the revenue. Now the revenue, I'm kind of stuck. Well, I guess I'll stay at Oklahoma as long as I have to. Then I'll go to the NFL. So 2007, 11-win season, number 8 in America. 2008, they went 12-2, played Florida for the national championship. So at that point, you had a lot of kids who would come for the revenue, it would appear. Revenue ended, and they're like, well, I'm stuck. Screw it. I'll stay. Title. National championship game appearance. Three straight Big 12 championships, and then a shot at the title against Florida. Then the lag. Ended 8-5 Sun Bowl the next year. And the program would have blips. You'd have the right quarterback and something would pop with Bradford and whatever, but it was never really at that level, especially on the lines of scrimmage. So I don't know if that's the reason. I know that based on the headlines, that's exactly how it lines up. There's always that lag and it lasts about two more seasons. All right, so we're going to break and come back, jump into it next.
College football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
And all week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Time was, I've talked about this before, folks, it's documented. Time was, with the rare exception, any high school senior in the state of Alabama who was an SEC caliber football player. If he wasn't going to Alabama, he was going to Auburn. If he wasn't going to Auburn, he was going to Alabama, and that was kind of it. And for the most part, with the rare exception of, well, Dad played at Clemson. With the rare exception, most schools didn't even go into the state. There was a number of kids each year, and if they were of that ilk, they were going one of those two places. Well, that's not the case anymore. Dabo's made that just a regular stomping ground. He's got a satellite campus there. Georgia, Florida, everybody. But a couple of interesting things have happened. Hugh Freeze has recovered from just the nuclear winter that Brian Harsin left behind in state. And I'll be darned if Kalen DeBoer didn't miss a beat. He said, I'm welcome. I'm happy to be in Tuscaloosa. Let's go to Saraland. And it's been nothing but good in state since then. Want to welcome on right now. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff, but I'd talk relationships is what I want to start with. From USA Today, he covers Bama and does a great job. It's AJ Spurr. AJ, how's your Tuesday?
Oh, mighty fine. Glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me. Spring practice is upon us, so, you know, we'll take what we can get for now, along with free agency frenzy. But football in the off season, this is as good as it gets.
So I grew up in a place called Lawrenceville, Georgia, and there was this big-time football player coming out of Birmingham, and I asked my dad about Georgia Tech getting him, and this was like 1979, and he's like, no, he can't. Alabama will get him or Auburn will get him. That's how it is, every single kid. And I started paying attention to that, and I'll be darned if that's kind of the case. That changed about 10, 12 years ago. Big drop-off at Auburn, et cetera, and then Dabo turns into Dabo, and even Ohio State's in state. I want to comment, first of all, just give a quick view from across state, because what Hugh Freeze has been able to do in-state has to get people's attention in Tuscaloosa. Just a quick view of what's going on at Auburn in-state.
Well, look, when Auburn hired Hugh Freeze, Alabama fans, media members, everybody knew that this was going to be a drastic change, especially considering what had been going on over on the plains at Auburn. Hugh Freeze is a, you know, more than capable recruiter. Like you said, he's able to build relationships with players. He's able to get recruits and players on his roster to buy in to the system that he's promoting. We saw this during his time at Liberty. We saw this while he was at Ole Miss. And really, he's been a thorn in the side of Alabama for quite some time. I mean, heck, even look last season, what he was able to do with that Auburn team against an Alabama team that went to overtime against the eventual national champion in the Rose Bowl. So Hugh Freeze, as a recruiter and as a coach, is very, very capable of leading this Auburn program to at least the upper tier of the SEC, whether he's able to get them back over that hump and into contention, not just for the conference title, but for a national championship. You know, that's something we'll have to wait and see, but I really do think he's able to get that done.
And doing work in state since he got started, Kalen DeBoer and that staff put together. Tell me your personal, from a personal level, your surprise meter, because they got another two commitments over the weekend. One of them a big four-star in-state as well for 25. Just talk about where have you been, because I'm sure that had to be on your radar given the disaster that Harsin had been.
Absolutely. Look, the quick turnaround is probably what shocked me the most. And I'm not saying that Auburn has gone from the ground floor to national title contenders overnight. But we're talking about a program that really, even with Gus Malzahn, had been struggling. And since that time, you had off-the-field debacles, especially with Brian Harsin. You know, and it's funny to say that with Hugh Freeze, of all people, you know, speaking of, you know, things going on off the field, but he's really been able to get there in Auburn. And in the state of Alabama, have recruits buy into what he's selling. And I think on a national level, people are kind of waking up to the idea that Hugh Freeze could have Auburn back at a certain point, maybe not this season, especially because he's had to build up this roster, you know, from the ground up. There's still some holes to be filled, but I really do think that he's got them trending in the right direction and probably ahead of schedule, if I had to guess what many Auburn analysts and fans would expect with him entering the 2024 season.
AJ, talking with Alabama, and they've already hit the practice field, and you actually get to see more than you ever have. Talk quarterback, talk wide receiver, obviously Jalen Milroe's job at high-profile transfers from the Washington program. Talk about those two positions as practice has started now.
Well, look, as it comes down to quarterback, DeBoer, especially after the first practice, he mentioned the fact that Jalen Milroe was working with the ones. He was not willing to say that Jalen Milroe was QB1. And I think something of note there was that he talked a lot about the guys behind Jalen Milroe, or who we would assume are behind Jalen Milroe. We talk about Ty Simpson, Dylan Lonergan, and even Austin Mack, who is, you know, extremely tall. I think he's 6'6". He's a head taller than just about everybody else in that quarterback room. He's encouraging competition, which, of course, is coach speak, because he's not going to give the job outright to Jalen Milroe straight off the bat. But I really do think having DeBoer as an offensive-minded head coach, which is a stark difference from what Nick Saban was even last year, we heard that he was extremely hands-on with the defense, calling the defense at times, whereas with the offense, he didn't have much control or much say at all. It was the Tommy Reese show, which Alabama fans are, you know, polarized as to how he performed in that role in his one season there. But I think DeBoer is going to encourage a lot of these younger guys, or, you know, the backups of 2023, to push Jalen Milroe. Make it a difficult decision for DeBoer to name a starting quarterback. That being said, I wouldn't hesitate right now to say that I expect Jalen Milroe to be the starting quarterback just as an incumbent, and seeing how he progressed and improved over the course of the 2023 season, going as far as being the, what, number six in the final Heisman tally. As for wide receiver, look, I've been saying for years now, Alabama has lacked, you know, the star quality, the flashiness of the players from 2017, 2018. We look back to there, that's Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Smith, Henry Ruggs, Jalen Waddle. I mean, we even had, you know, John Metchie, Jameson Williams through the transfer portal. Those were guys who established a presence on the field. They demanded attention from opposing secondaries, whereas we look to last season, you know, Isaiah Bond was there. He was quality. He's now at Texas. Jermaine Burton was a solid wide receiver. We'll see what he can do in the NFL should he get picked up in the draft. But Alabama for the last couple of years has really lacked that flashiness, the speed, the elite route running, the Biletnikoff contenders year in and year out. As for the upcoming 2024 season, we're looking at, you know, Kendrick Law, Jalen Hale, Kobe Prentice. These are names that people, you know, outside of the Alabama faithful may not be too accustomed with, but they're names they should know. Also of note is incoming freshman, former four-star recruit as a tight end, Caleb Odom, has been making the move from a tight end over to wide receiver. He's going to be able to establish, assuming that he gets on the field day one, he can establish a large presence just based on size, which I think will help Alabama and especially Jalen Milroe with some of those deep contested balls that Alabama's receivers of 2023 really struggled to come down with if they weren't able to establish some sort of separation. So pairing that along with DeBoer and his offensive mentality, we're in for a new look Alabama offense, and I really think fans are in for a good one in the upcoming season.
Tyler, it's always a great visit, brother. I appreciate you coming on. Thank you for the expertise.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
KREF, Norman, Afternoon Drive host, Tyler McComas, talking Sooners. Talk to y'all soon.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Big thanks to A.J. Spurr, our Truist reporter for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Join us from USA Today. I appreciate his time. As I was saying, going to break there, joining us next on the Duncan Newsmaker line. Spring practice going on in Norman. That's a big-time SEC program, so we're going to have a big-time reporter on. Want to welcome on, as I said, the Duncan Newsmaker line, Tyler McComas, KREF, Norman, Afternoon Drive host. Tyler, welcome to the program, brother. How you doing?
Good. It's just crazy. OU-SEC talk. We've known this is going to happen for a couple of years now, but it just gets more and more real the closer we get, so everyone's jacked up around here about it.
Yeah, no more fun talk than quarterback. Talk to transition. I mean, Texas, they're squared away at quarterback, and everybody knows Quinn Ewers. If you follow recruiting, you've seen the name Jackson Arnold. Folks in the OU program, they know they've seen him. They put eyeballs on him. Talk about what's ahead for him in 2024.
Well, I mean, he's got a lot on his plate, right? First year in the SEC, there's still some big expectations here, regardless of what those early season over-under win totals are. But I think there's excitement around here just because of what the ceiling is and what he has. Now, people will view Dylan Gabriel as maybe a better quarterback right now. I mean, you see some preseason quarterback lists. Dylan Gabriel, who left OU to go to Oregon, you know, top five, top three, depending on what you look at. Jackson Arnold has the arm strength that Dylan Gabriel just never had here. He's got the athleticism that Dylan Gabriel just never had here. So the ceiling of what you have at quarterback, I'm not going to say that this is another Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray rolling through, but even in the loss in the Alamo Bowl, he had some really good moments, and you saw the arm strength and you saw the accuracy. But it's arguably the biggest question mark going into this year, Chuck. And not only that, do you have a first-year starter in your first year in the SEC? If quarterback's not your biggest question mark, then your second biggest question mark is the offensive line. They've got to find their five. They got to find some continuity. They were an up-and-down group last year. So I think there's a lot of things to like about this team. But you've got a shaky offensive line behind a first-year starter at quarterback, and – boy, that's a tough spot to be in for sure.
Yeah, there were some returners at wide receiver with a lot of starting experience, not as much on the offensive line. And I want to ask you, I guess it's a combo question. How much can OU run the ball in the SEC this coming year, and how much are they going to try? Is this offense going to be throw, 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 throw?
I don't think they want to. I mean, I think that they want to run as much as possible, because when you evaluate this offense at this given moment, wide receiver is their best position group, but I think running back's number two. And there's a lot of bodies at running back right now. They added Sam Franklin via the portal from UT Martin. You've got Gavin Sawchuk coming back. You got Devontae Barnes coming back. You got a five-star running back, the number one running back, Taylor Tatum, coming in. So you got a lot back at that position. OU doesn't want to be an air raid team. They don't want to be an air raid team with the first-year starter at quarterback, like I said. I think that you're going to see OU more this year try to play a style of offense that aids its defense, because there's the strength of your team. And the conversations that we're having around here, Chuck, is this has a chance, and it has a very good chance, to be OU's best defense in over a decade. Now, I know the bar's not extremely high for that, you know, given some recent years, but it still has the chance with Danny Stutzman, Billy Bowman coming back. This should be the best defense that you've had in over a decade. I think that you've got to do some things style-wise offensively to help out that side of the ball. So I'm just going to be surprised. I don't know how well they're going to run it. I mean, just throw that into the mix of big question marks for this team. But I don't think that they're going to come out game one or game one of the SEC and be a team that throws it 50 times per game. I think they absolutely want to take some pressure off of their first-year quarterback and win the time of possession battle that so far in Brent Venables' career, and Jeff Levy's at Mississippi State now, but they would lose the time of possession battle about 75%, feels like, the past 2 years. That cannot be the case moving forward in a year in a league like this.
Throw in a word about you'd mentioned, and it was, they've got a lot of returning, even just not just starting experience, but production, a lot of yards, a lot of catches at wide receiver, but they went into the portal like everybody does. You can get a grown man receiver. That's a good thing. They went to Purdue. Talk about getting Deion Burks in.
I think he might be OU's leading receiver next year. The big loss that they had at wide receiver was Drake Stoops. He was first team All Big 12. He's actually going through OU's pro day right now. That's the big loss for them at wide receiver. But like you said, they return a lot of production. Deion Burks, though, is going to play that slot position that Drake Stoops played last year. And with a young starter at quarterback, there's a lot of easy throws that could happen to Deion Burks. He didn't have, you know, 1,000 yards at Purdue or anything, but I think they're going to target him a lot. He is lethal in the open field. All early reports of him on campus say that this guy is absolutely going to be a starter. Nick Anderson comes back at wide receiver. That's big for OU, but I think Deion Burks, your transfer from Purdue, is going to be your leading receiver next year because of what he can do after the catch. And he's probably going to end up being OU's most lethal wide receiver with the ball in his hands next year.
So flip it around, and we're talking to OU folks. It's spring out there. Tyler McComas, afternoon drive host out there, Norman KREF, talking Brent Venables in his third season out there. Flip it around to defense, and you'd mentioned Stutzman, and they got linebackers coming back, and they got an experienced secondary, like experience with each other there sort of coming back. If they can generate pass rush, there's the key. Talk about, is that a generate sort of thing, or do they have linemen who can win their one-on-one? Downs is back, but just talk about where the pass rush comes from and how.
I think it's going to have to come from the edge. Again, this should be their best defense in a decade, a little over a decade. But the interior of the defensive line is the question mark. Bodies-wise, they're going to be relying on a couple of true freshmen. Now, one of those true freshmen is a five-star, David Stone, out of IMG, first five-star interior lineman that OU's gotten in a long, long time. He's bringing along his four-star teammate, Jaden Jackson. So you're going to see two true freshmen next year on the defensive line. Jacob Lacey, who was on the team last year, a Notre Dame transfer, he's got an unfortunate situation with blood clots, so he had to retire from football a couple of weeks ago. That means you're a little thin right now at the interior. So you're going to be young, you're going to be thin. I think you're going to see OU active in the portal, depending on who's available in the spring cycle when it comes to defensive linemen. But out on the edge, I think they're going to be pretty good. I really do. And I think that there's a lot of potential there. Ethan Downs had his best year, but they've got a former five-star who's going to be a sophomore this year in P.J. Adebowale. Now, if OU has someone that's just a physical freak on this team, it's this kid. I mean, the long arms that he has, the body types that he has. He had a really good start to the year last year, maybe hit that freshman wall midway point of the year. But if he can become what we all around here think that he can be, he could be one of the more elite pass rushers in the SEC next year. And I don't say that lightly, because I know the expectations and the players across this league are big time, but he just has that type of body frame that he can be that type of player. They return a lot of edge, return a lot of defensive linemen. I don't know if the pass rush will be the best in the SEC. I don't think they're going to lead the conference in sacks next year, but I do think it's going to be a lot better and a lot more consistent than what it's been.
Last question, and maybe this is current direction of strength and conditioning. I don't know. It's the quality of players that you start with, I'm sure. But I remember specifically OU playing SEC teams, and it could have been Tennessee a couple of times, and they're like, come here, eat this. And they just punch. Auburn and New Orleans are like, yeah, we're just as physical as you are. I was used to OU when they would get a crack at an SEC team. If they lost, it wasn't because they lacked physicality on the lines of scrimmage. Those like Gerald McCoy and Tommy Harris I was mentioning earlier, those guys aren't there now. Talk about just the giant, overwhelming physical beast on both lines and where maybe the strength and conditioning program is.
Strength and conditioning program, they have Jerry Schmidt, who he's won a national championship at a lot of spots. He's been around for a while. When Bob Stoops was making his run-up in, you know, 99, early 2000s, Jerry Schmitz was the guy around here that he was the strength and conditioning. He was the head of that, and he's always been loved around here. 5-6 years ago, he left to have a short stint at Texas A&M, came back to OU once Brent Venables was hired. But this guy, he was in Notre Dame at 88 when they won the title. I think he was in Florida in 96 when they won the title as well. So this guy knows what he's doing. He's one of the most respected strength and conditioning coaches in all of the country. Where are they at right now? I think it depends on what position. I think defensively they're bigger, they're more physical than they've been in a long time.
And by the way, that's not always the goal anymore, I understand. So I wanted to throw that in there. That's not always the goal, but
yeah. Yeah, they just released weights yesterday. It feels like defensively they're in a good spot. It's just offensive line, they've got to get bigger. They've got to get more physical. I mean, it's just a giant, overwhelming question mark right now surrounding this team.
Absolutely, and there's a big pie graph that you put different percentages on, and so I was wondering, I was like, well, we got an expert coming on. We've already talked about recruiting, and we've talked about coaching staff. Let's talk about strength and conditioning. So, Tyler, I appreciate you shining a light on all of this, man. Thank you for the insight.
You bet, anytime.
Tyler McComas, KREF, Norman, afternoon drive host. And so there's so many factors to go into that, but they just didn't have the same sort of big, mean, nasty linemen. Remember down in New Orleans playing Auburn, I was like, that's an SEC approach there. They just second half moving the football. They had answer after answer after answer. And just tough guys. I want to say it was Joe Mixon that night. It might have been, oh gosh, was that Samaje Perine? But it was just a really physical bunch up there. And Tennessee, I'm trying to remember if it was Baker who was like a play or two away, we all thought, from getting yanked against the Vols. And then all of a sudden, the comeback, and then they stretched it out even. So, like, I mean, they looked on the line of scrimmage. If they were going to lose, it wasn't even going to be because of that. Alabama in New Orleans, like, if they were going to lose, it wasn't going to be because of the line of scrimmage. So that just disappeared. And he said that, well, yeah, the strength and conditioning guy, for whatever it may matter, that, yeah, he'd left for about 5 years, about 2015, about 2020. And so that was the era we're talking about. I don't know. It's all just like little slivers, little slices of the pie. We will take a break. We'll wrap up next.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Give them an opportunity to play for a trophy and have a chance to have a special year and end it with, you know, hoisting a trophy. I think that would be great. I think we can get to that ultimately. Once they figure out my big deal, I think you're going to eventually try to continue to weed out the G5s because the money, those bigger programs, I say programs, conferences, they want to keep that money.
Not Jamie Chadwell talking about the future of, for instance, programs at his level. Jamie Chadwell is the head coach at Liberty. They're in Conference USA. There's weirdness there. They got line jumped by the Sun Belt. But still good programs in there. Liberty's one of them. They've been playing football for about 50 years there now. That was like way back in the day. Most folks started paying attention to Liberty when we saw there was a guy, Sam Ratigliano, who had been the head coach for the Cleveland Browns. And I think Sam's still with us. He's got to be 95. But Sam Ratigliano was a longtime NFL coach and had big success, high-profile success with the Browns in the late 70s, early 80s. Brian Sipe won an MVP for him. And after he left the Browns, he became head coach at Liberty, and so they got a name there. UTSA got Larry Coker. Texas State got Dennis Franchione. You always look, I mean, are you still that guy? Probably not. But that's how North Alabama got Terry Bowden. I mean, you take what you take. So making the most of it. And so that's Jamie Chadwell talking about what's ahead for Liberty. And, again, programs of that ilk. That is what matters to me today. Brought to you by ThisStuffMatters.net. Appreciate everybody joining us today for your college football convo on the Duncan Newsmaker line. We've had a great day. Dave Bartu, he is College Football Matrix, joins us every Tuesday for a couple of segments, and that was awesome today. Also on the Duncan Newsmaker line, AJ Spurr, USA Today, Roll Tide Wire editor. And then we just wrapped up with Tyler McComas, good friend of ours. He hosts Afternoon Drive out in Norman on KREF out there. So that was all the conversation we had outside of me and David and Heath. So I appreciate everybody coming here, as you always do. Clemson is in their spring practice right now. And I was looking at what's ahead for them and breakdown of their offensive line returning talent and who they have returning from injury at wide receiver and who they don't have at running back, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then I looked at their spring game. And when I looked at their spring game for about the 10th time today, I was like, really? I started with pure intentions. I wanted to find out about running back and filling out after Maffa and how Klubnik was doing after a few practices and all of this. And I mentioned yesterday we had some Missouri talk, and the Tigers get after it this Saturday for their spring game. So I started looking online yesterday ahead of the interview, and I said, what day is the Missouri spring game? And I saw it was Saturday, March 16th. I wanted to see where it was going to be broadcast because I didn't know. I was like, ESPN, maybe the big channel. I don't know. It's conference basketball championship, conference championship. So they got that on the real stuff. What about SEC Network? No, this is on ESPN Plus and SEC Network Plus. And I was like, okay, well, that is the first spring game. It's the first one and kind of the sort of information and broadcast you would get on the boutique conference network as a spring game. Like, that's exactly why the SEC network was created. But I guess they have too much going on with college basketball. Maybe it's just this one-off sort of thing that because of college hoops this weekend and conference tournaments going on and Missouri being so early that maybe Missouri sort of singled itself out. And that's why there's no room on any of the ESPN networks or SEC network or alternate. They got shoved all the way down to the internet. Then I was looking at some other spring games, and I'm finally wrapping up with Clemson's, and I see it again. Clemson spring game, Saturday, April 6th, 1 p.m. ESPN Network Plus, ACC Network Extra. You have to pay now for almost every spring game of a program that you would be really interested in. And while Clemson was the final straw on the camel's back today, understand that this is more driven by the forces behind, whether it's ACC, SEC, or whatever, behind the broadcast of this. And it's the Disney, ESPN, ABC, Hulu now, because they own Hulu, conglomeration with two ends of this conversation. One of them is the number, and one of them is the goal. When it comes to, and I'm just going to say Disney, and that's everything under Disney, ESPN, ABC, et cetera. The number and the goal, the number's moving. The goal is not. The goal from Disney, here's the goal. Disney wants another separate payment from each of us every month. That's the goal. Disney and all that they control, they want another additional separate payment from each of us every month. That's the goal, and that's not changing. That's everything they're doing right now is in pursuit of that. The number is moving, and it's moving up, and there are levels based on ads or not ads, but the current number sits at $25 per month, but that's a variable. That'll continue to rise. But understand that that's the only thing that's changing. The goal is fixed. It's carved in stone. It's 11th commandment sort of stuff. Disney is after another separate, individual, additional payment from every one of us. The drive, the push from ESPN's parent company is to get us subscribed to their streamer and get as many monthly payments as possible until the next wave of either expansion or consolidation online. Now, it matters little to ESPN. They'll roll with whatever direction the industry goes. Streamers getting huger or like more boutique, deeper dive services, whatever the wind direction, it won't change their goal. All right. The goal is an auto debit every 30 days for their streamer because we are now getting almost nothing without it. If you don't have the streamer, if you're not paying additional for the streamer, not for instance, SEC Network. Auburn had a home game. They opened the season out of Akron, Alabama State. It was three seasons ago, I believe. And it's the 21 season. And week one, and I sit down to watch my Auburn Tigers, and I was like, well, it's such a not good game that it's going to be on the SEC Network, and it wasn't. Then I said, well, it'll be on the alternate, and it wasn't. I realized, oh, wait a minute, that's that new thing they talked about. The SEC Network, which was created specifically for games like Auburn and Akron. No, new arrangement. One non-conference game per school per year. We're putting it on SEC Network Plus. We needed to start populating, giving you reasons to pay the extra money. And so this is now the next step in that. SEC Network was created to do things like televised spring games, almost all of them are on SEC Network Plus or ESPN Plus. Short version, as of today, they want $25, and they're going to get it. Now, credit to ESPN for one thing. They are overloading the content we get. But it's just going to another level because we're already paying for SEC Network. Platform is now, not networks, not channels, not anything. It's platforms, different platforms. And so now that's what they're offering, and there's ESPN, which you pay for. There's SEC Network, which you pay for. Now they want you to pay for SEC Network Plus. So that's the goal. Get another payment. And they're gonna. I'm gonna. Wraps it up on a Tuesday. Appreciate David. Appreciate Heath. Appreciate everybody. 22 hours from now. We'll all be back talking college football right here. Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you? 3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.